Good morning. Just in case you don't know, Wednesday this week is Ash Wednesday. Our schedule is the same. We'll have morning mass at 8 o'clock and 7 p.m. in the evening, after which, or within which, ashes will be distributed. There will not be ashes available outside these mass times on Wednesday. I certainly invite and encourage you to begin the season, this important season of a reflection and turning more closely to the Lord, to participate in Mass with us if you can. Today we're also celebrating or honoring World Day for Marriage, is it, or however they name that? A day for world marriage? That's not right. Anyway, for all married people. So if you're married, today's your day. And I don't think it's a coffee and donut Sunday, but it's going to be a cupcake Sunday. And I think we have 96 cupcakes back there, so you better all come and eat one. And when you do that, just congratulate all those who are married. I will have a blessing for you after the communion prayer. So really, in prayer and reverence, the courage and the commitment it takes to be married and to sustain that commitment over all these, you know what I always say at the marriage things, you know, the guy, you know, the priest, the guy's been married like 50 years. You know, you're going to remember this because I say it all the time. See? The priest says, well, my God, you know, marriage, I mean, did you ever think of divorce? And the guy goes, divorce? No. Murder? Several times. You didn't need to hear that today, did you? It might seem odd, but what I see in the gospel today really is that what this leper wants is what God wants for him. So the punchline might be today, not might be, but is, what is your deepest desire? Now, I know there's a football game on today, and I'd be brave enough to say that the deepest desire of a lot of people would be that the Lions were going to play in that game today. Is that right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Today, just a football game now. I don't really care who wins. But people are going to go bonkers over it anyways, right? But if the Lions were playing, it'd be the most important thing in the world, wouldn't it? You bet. Politically, a lot of people just can't wait for their candidate to be elected. And there's maybe the same number of people that want their candidate elected because it's their deepest desire. I really want the Lions to win. I want them to win the Super Bowl. But it's not my deepest desire. You know what I mean? Some people, man, I really need a new car. Man, I need I got to get a new roof on my house. I got to get my 48-year-old kid out of my basement. Whatever. A lot of people laughed at that. Wow. What I'm talking about is spiritual desire. You remember the story of the blind man. Now, there's two or three, but the blind man, and Jesus, he cries out, pity, pity, have pity on me, Jesus, Son of Man, Son of Man, he says. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? The guy's blind. Well, Master, I want to see. But for him, that was also a spiritual desire. He wanted to see Jesus. Now, he wanted to see everything else as well. But he wanted to see Jesus. That's what I see in the story of the leper today. I've seen haven't read many, but I have seen a number of books written by both spiritual and psychological writers on human desire. I think, well, what would you write about that? But they're quite helpful books. They're helpful for the healing ministries, therapists, psychologists, etc. But they're also helpful for the spiritual life. Now, you know, and if you don't know, you ought to know, that the world tells us what our desire should be, does it not? I mean, watch TV for more than 38 seconds, and you're going to get commercials, and you're going to get advertisements, and you're going to get a consumerist culture shoving at you all the desires and everything on earth, including hair products and skin products and beer and whatever else, cars, that's going to make you happy, and you need this. But do we put that kind of energy to know our inner desire? I wasn't thinking that this was a pre-Lenten homily, but it's probably a pretty good one for that too, don't you think? I wish I understood better this whole concept of leper in the time of Jesus, because it really comes from the first reading many centuries before Jesus even was born. And Moses and Aaron are saying the same thing. Anyone with a skin, a scab, or a pustule or blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy, you know, then, you know, keep them on the outside of things. Now, on the one hand, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? They didn't have a Rite Aid or a CVS or a Walgreens on every corner, and some skin things are contagious, and they, you know, for that kind of culture and society, it was important. At one point, there was such an overt overlay that they made it even sinful. Centuries later, the Judaic law, the Ten Commandments, which was further developed, probably more on the human side than the divine side, was it 634 rules and laws that came out of the Ten Commandments? And I don't know. I don't think, I'm pretty quite sure they did not have the medical wherewithal to know what we call Hodgkin's disease today, leprosy. So any blotch on the skin, well, you know, you're a sinner and God's punishing you because you got that on your skin, and so you're unclean and you're unworthy. Get out of here. You're sinful. You're disgusting to God. You're unworthy. Go away. So who's this leper? Wait a second. We used to think of the lions that way, right? Was it 1 in 16 or 0 in 16 or something? Yeah. It's like, well, they're the leper of the... Never mind. But you think that way, right? We were kind of embarrassed for our team. Now we love them. That's a good thing. But this guy is rejected. But who is he? We don't know. Doesn't matter to God. He could have been on the low end of the economic and social ladder of his time. On the other hand, he could as well have been a well-to-do person, a respected leader, and someone important and well-known in the community. But if he had some kind of blotch on his head or some part of his body that he couldn't cover up, and hey, that's dangerous. You better go and get that checked because you're unclean. All of a sudden, his whole life changes. You see, we have that power over people sometimes. The way we talk to them, the things we say. Oh, wait, the things you can put on, I don't even know the language anymore, Facebook and Twitter is now X or something, or anything you can put out there because... doesn't matter because nobody can see who you are. So we say disgusting and unseemly and unkind things about others and rejection and sometimes direct hatred. So this guy's rejected. So what gives him the courage to so boldly approach Jesus with his deepest desire? That's what impresses me about the story. Now, it could be, because we don't know how long this guy has been pushed out. Is it a couple of weeks? Is it a couple of months? Or is it 10 years? But he can't go home to his wife and kids, if he had a wife and kids. He can't go back to his job. He's just has to be live outside the town and try to survive. Maybe, possibly, out of desperation and isolation and social rejection, he doesn't care about breaking any religious laws because he can't go to the temple anyways. I'm not sure that's the case. Because if he were to be healed by Jesus, he'd still be liable for breaching the religious code and he'd still be punished in some way. So we're left then with a much more likely reality that in his desperation, he turned to faith and trust. Clearly, he either knew Jesus or he heard a lot about Jesus. And he came to believe in him. Well, if he could heal the blind guy, and if he could heal, you know, the lame, and if he could raise the dead, if he wanted to, I believe he could heal my leprosy. So he comes and says, if you wish, you can make me clean. Now, to split hairs, to say, I wish, could say, I want you to. I will it. I desire it. And what does Jesus say? Not only what he says, but he reaches out and touches him. Jesus puts himself in the same unclean state that the leper's in by touching him. And he says, I do will it. I desire this with you and for you. Be made clean. The leprosy left him immediately. Wow. And then, to the chagrin of Jesus, because Jesus asked him not to, he goes and proclaims it all over the place. How could he not? How could he not do that? Everybody knew he was a leper. What surprises me and strikes me about the story, and it lends me to think, and I don't know, but he probably was not named a leper for a real long time. Because when people are isolated and rejected socially and made to think they're unclean and unworthy, they really lose a sense of self. And it may or may not be a good example, but the story of the unclean woman comes to mind. Remember? 12 years bleeding. That's a long time. And I think, I'll say I believe, that she carried that false identity of being unclean and unworthy, rejected by God and people for so long, she began to believe it's who she was. But she says to herself, if I can go, because she's heard about Jesus too, if I just touch the tassel of his cloak, I'll be made clean. I'll be healed. And what does Jesus do in that case? And there, he's in the middle of the crowd of people, 200, 300, who knows how many people. It doesn't matter if they were Republicans or Democrats. Who touched me? You see, she's thinking she's going to touch Jesus, get her healing anonymously, and sneak away and live happily ever after. Not the case. Because she may have been healed physically, but how long would it take for her to get rid of the idea or the thought that she was rejected and unworthy to God and everybody else? So Jesus says, who touched me? Trembling, feeling exposed, she comes and tells the whole story. And he simply says, your faith has healed you. You may go. Be at peace. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want her just to be healed physically of her bleeding. He wanted her to be healed spiritually so that she could love herself and understand that she was continually and unendingly loved by God. And I suspect she realized that. I think that's what gave this leper the courage to ask Jesus for his deepest desire. His desire was to be healed of the leprosy. But again, what strikes me in that rejected state in which he lived, he somehow had the capacity to hold a strong sense of himself. And something in himself said, I believe and I trust. Now, you know, only by God's grace, I've been in the healing ministry for many years, and I know there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't dare. They just wouldn't dare come and ask for healing. Maybe they believe, maybe they don't. They don't come because they're afraid they'll be disappointed. Because if it didn't work, well, then they'd have to put up with the disappointment and somehow think, well, I guess God thinks I'm not worthy, which is a fat lie. I don't and I can't tell people what God's going to do because I don't know what God's going to do. I do tell them God will do something. But just because a person doesn't immediately get the healing they want, whatever it is, even if it's a new car, doesn't mean God didn't hear the prayer. So this leper takes the risk and the vulnerability to believe and to trust in the goodness of Jesus, because he sees the power of God in Jesus and it stirs his soul. Or maybe he just heard. But notice that the man believes that what he desires will also be the desire of Jesus for him. That's the spiritual part of it. Do you believe that God wants what you want? I don't think a lot of people believe that at all. Why would God want what I want? I'm just a sinner, and well, why would God want that? So back to the spiritual and psychological writers. There's a story, I think it's a good one, and I know it's true. A young woman was frustrated with her life and talked to a therapist. And the therapist said, well, what's your deepest desire? Before he says that, she tells him, well, you know, I'm X age, it's such and such an age, and I want a husband and I want kids. And so the therapist says, well, what's your deepest desire? Well, she feels completely unheard. I just said, I want a husband and kids. And he said, well, I heard you. What's underneath that? What's your deepest desire? He's kind of like, are you deaf? He says, no, you just think about it. And I don't know how long she had to think. I don't know if it was the same appointment or the next one. But to her surprise, she did learn about herself. She wanted love. She wanted connectedness. She wanted to feel significant to another person. She wanted another person to feel significant toward her. She wanted to love another, and she wanted to be loved by another. And that was an awakening for her. She still wanted a husband and kids, but she realized as she prayed for that and went about the business of finding a husband. That's a different homily. She realized that in a relationship with God, that what she wanted, God wanted for her. Because God wants for her love and connectedness, relationship, significance, a loving and a being loved. Is there anybody here that doesn't want that? No. You can really want the Lions to win the Super Bowl, and man, I really want that. But at the end of the day, by next March, you'd forget. Who won the Super Bowl last year? I have no idea. Was it Kansas City? Well, hallelujah, man, that changes my whole day. I don't care. And I don't care who wins today. Oh, maybe I should. But I want love in my life. I want to feel connectedness and relationship. I want to feel that I'm valuable to other people, and I want to know that other people are valuable to me, right? Those are the things that God wants for us. Why? Because that's God already in us. You know, circling back here, you know that human desire has a lot of faces. The culture tells us that. In fact, it darn near shoves it down our throat every day, doesn't it? You better buy this, because if you don't, you won't be cool. You won't be happy. You'll be a better person if you buy this or that or the other thing. But more maturely and spiritually, human desire comes from the heart. And although I wasn't thinking about it at the time, that's exactly what Lent is about. And although I've already written that homily for next Sunday, I'll try not to give it right now, because then the cupcakes would be getting stale. But think about your deepest desire. I can't tell you what it is, but I know it has something to do with God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You want God in your life, right? Because God is love, and God is relationship, God is meaning, God is purpose. I wonder if God has any money on this game today. You never know. God is a God of surprises. A lot of people out there really want their team to win, and I'm happy for that, really. We all have desires. We all need and want things, and that's okay, because we need some things and we want other things within proportion and prudence. But don't let the wants and the needs, the desires of the world, to obscure and hide you from your deepest desires. Because the reality is, when the rubber meets the road, we all want the same thing. And the same thing is God. It's Christ. Isn't it true that we're most happy, we're most at home in our own skin, and we're better for others when we're loved, we're in relationship, we're connected, we're validated, because we feel significant and important to others. We love them, they love us. That's God's desire. Not rocket science. In this culture, hard to do. Get ready for Lent, because Lent is coming. But God is already here, and he's already in you. Lord, open our eyes. If we need to be shaken up, shake and bake, send the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, in honor and memory of Bishop Shaner, may the Holy Spirit disturb you.